Praise God. So good. So good together around the person of Jesus Christ. So good to have hope in an hour where so many people don't have hope. As believers in Christ, we know that we have a hope that will never fade away. We have a hope that endures. We have a life that is promised to be everlasting. Amen? And God is so good. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're watching, you're listening, however you may be, to get your Bible and go find it under the shelf, under the stack of books, if you've neglected it, and pull it out and blow the dust off the covers of it. I know you're going to be playing with your phone, most of you, while you're at your house, because you're watching us on the live stream, but that's okay in this one instance. We'll let that pass. But get your Bible out and open it up, and let's look into the book that gives us hope. Let's look into the Bible and find some hope in this hour that we need. And how many could use some hope and some encouragement? Amen. Acts chapter 16, and I preached from this passage before, but I, in much prayer about what the Lord would have me to bring today, the Lord laid this message and this outline on my heart, and I believe it is what the Lord would have us to hear this morning. And so we're going to begin reading at the 16th verse of Acts chapter 16, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 25, because I want you to take in the historical information as well. The best way for me to get that to you is just to read it to you, because no one can say it better than the Bible itself. So I'm going to read that, Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16 through 25. And this is what it says. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Essentially, that's fortune telling. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And listen to this: at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." This will be the focus of our message this morning, verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." I've used for a title of the message this morning, "The Midnight Hour." The Midnight Hour. Now, you'll notice in verse 25, it said at midnight, Paul and Silas, they began to pray and sing praises unto God. Now, I want you to think about, just for a moment, something about this moment, this midnight hour. This is what we're going to focus on this morning. Midnight is the midpoint between the sun setting and the sun rising. It's a dark hour of the night, the midnight hour. And this is the hour that we're going to talk about. There's a lot of things that can change in an hour. You've heard Dad say that here in this church. A lot of things can change in an hour. And in an hour such as this, there are some things that we can learn from this passage. I want you to know that they've been beaten with many stripes. Paul and Silas had been beaten with many stripes. They'd been thrown into the inner prison, and they had their feet placed in stocks. Now, when you think about that and you get the picture of what's going on here, you don't think that it looks much like an hour to praise God. You're not saying, this looks like exactly the time that I'm going to shout glory, hallelujah. It doesn't look much like the hour where you're going to say, Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Paul and Silas, they started praying and they started praising God, but it wasn't because their conditions were just so wonderful. They weren't praising God because they said, boy, these stocks feel sure, they sure do feel good on my feet. And this prison cell is nice and damp and dark. And boy, these conditions are wonderful. Oh, my back is killing me. They didn't have good conditions there. The conditions, if you look at it, didn't look very good. It wasn't the type of conditions that you would say praise God about. It wasn't exactly the hour that you would be saying now is when I want to praise God. I want you to think about this also. Not only did it not look like the hour that they would want to praise God, but I want you to notice that they were praising God, but not because they were expecting anything in return. I don't believe that they were expecting anything in return. You know what? I believe that they were in there because they were praising God because He is God. They were in there praising God not because they expected that if I praise God and if I pray enough that God somehow is entitled, that he owes me something now, because boy, I sang Him a song and I prayed real nice. I prayed a beautiful prayer and oh, now God owes me something. That's why we're going to pray. Silas, let's pray and praise God because we want something out of this. I don't believe that's what they were doing. I don't believe that they were praising God because they expected anything in return. I don't believe they were praising God because the circumstances were just so wonderful, because you know they weren't. I believe they were praising God because God is so good. I believe they were praising God because God is worthy to be praised. I believe that they were praising God because this is a God that we serve and we're getting to take part in the sufferings of Christ. We're here because we got to preach the gospel and it doesn't look very good, but we're going to praise Him anyway because of who He is. Because of what He's done, because He saved our soul. Paul might be saying, hey, God met me on that Damascus road, and I know who He is. He's alive in me. It doesn't matter what happens here in this world. I got a God that's alive and well. I got everlasting life. That's what they're praising God about, because of who God is. Amen. They were praising God because of who He is. I want to say to us this morning, we need to spend time with God, not because of what He can do for us, but because of who He is. If we only go to our prayer closet because we want something from God, if we only praise Him because we expect something from God, then we're not right in our heart with God. We need to be going there saying, Jesus, thank You for the cross. Jesus, thank You for washing away my sins. Jesus, thank You for the blood You shed at Calvary. Jesus, thank You for who You are. That's where we need to be. Yes, God, He welcomes our requests. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. But if we only ever go just because we want something, you need to back up and take a minute and maybe go to your prayer closet, even just for a few minutes, and say, God, I'm here for nothing other than I want to just praise You. I just want to say thank You. Even in the midst of everything that I'm looking at around the world, even though it's the midnight hour, I'm going to come and praise You because You're worthy to be praised. I'm going to come and love You because You're worthy to be loved. Now, I want you to know that we're living in a midnight hour. Right now, it does not look like the hour to praise God. You look around, you turn on the news, you turn on the radio, you see the newspaper. You're afraid to touch the newspaper. Who touched this last? You know, that's the hour we live in, and I don't mean to make light of it, but seriously, that's what goes through your head. It doesn't look like the hour to praise God. We see sickness, we see disease, we see death, we see heartbreak, wars, rumors of wars, huh? Earthquakes. Fear is gripping the hearts of men. Fear is gripping the world around us. And how can this be the hour of praise? How can this be the hour that we praise? We may pray because we're fearful, but how can this be the hour that we stand up and say, Jesus, You're a mighty God. Jesus, You're worthy of praise. How can this be the hour of praise? It doesn't look like it. It looks like the midnight hour. It looks like circumstances aren't good. How can this be the hour of praise? I want to remind you what Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 28. He said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is the hour to praise God, because because we're closer to the return of Christ than anybody has ever been. They were looking for it in Paul's day. How much more should we be looking for it today? As we are seeing these things come to pass, we're seeing things unfold. How much closer are we today to the return of Jesus Christ, where the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel? He's coming to take us home. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is coming to take us home. Hallelujah. Now, something by the way of this before I move any further and or lose my place in the message. I might do both. There's a lot of things that go on up here, and they're not always good, and sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. If you ever wonder if I know what I'm doing, it's because I don't. But I want you to know, in the scripture, when we read that earlier, it said that their feet were in stocks. Now, I looked at that again, and I never really thought about it. It doesn't say anything about their hands. It doesn't say anything about their hands. Their feet were in stocks. They were bound, thrown into the inner prison. But they still, as far as I can tell, their hands weren't bound. And what did they do with those hands? They praised God with those hands. I believe they praised God with those hands. They said, we can't go anywhere, but right here where we are, Silas, let's put these hands to work. Let's praise God. I believe they clapped their hands. I believe they shouted. I believe they gave glory to God. And what I want to say to all you, we're at a time right now where people are stuck somewhere. Your feet are bound. You can't go anywhere, but you still got hands. Amen? You still got hands. If you're watching, wave those hands. They ain't tied down to nothing. You can still praise God with those hands. Maybe you can pick up your telephone and call your friend down the street and say, hey, my hands still work. I want you to know we got a good God. I may not be able to leave this place, but I still got hands and I can still use them to the glory of God. You ask the Lord, Lord, is there some way that I can reach out to somebody from right where I am? See, Paul was able to reach all these people. You're going to find out right there in that jail cell. He never even left. But oh, what a mighty work of God happened in that place. His hands weren't bound. Amen. And the word of God is not bound. Amen. I want you to know that even in this dark hour, that God will give his people a song. He will give his people a song. He will. There will be a song of praise. It'll rise up in the night. If you've ever had that happen, you know what it's like. A song of praise rise up in the middle of the night. And he will sustain his people. You know, you may have that song rise up. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You may have a song rise up in the night. And that's God speaking to you saying it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. Psalm 42, verse 8 says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Listen, and in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. In the daytime, in the nighttime, God's got you covered. Loving kindness in the daytime. In the nighttime, his song comes to you to bring peace, to bring comfort, to bring help. God will sustain his people. Praise God. Now, when I read this, I thought, and I've said this before, but I wonder if Paul and Silas, while they were in that cell, and they were singing and they were praising God, they were praying, I wonder if Paul maybe said, how about that one over in Psalm 136? How about we do a few lines of that, Silas? What do you think about that? And maybe Paul cracked open that Old Testament hymnal in the songbook in Psalm 136. And maybe Silas was listening in and he just added an amen every now and then. He said, maybe Paul started out on Psalm 136, verse 1. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And maybe Silas said, amen, that sounds good, Paul. And maybe Paul said, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. And Silas said, said, amen, that's a good one. And maybe he said, oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And Silas is saying, keep him coming, Paul, that sounds good. That sounds good, keep him coming. And Paul said, to him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. And Silas said, amen, 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 amen. He said, God is good. I believe they were shouting and praising God. I believe they were loving God. I believe they were singing, and the prisoners heard them, and the jailers and the prisoners were hearing them, and God was listening too. And it says in verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosened. Hallelujah. The people were hearing this, and God was hearing this, and there was some shouts of praise going up in an hour that it didn't look like an hour you'd be shouting and praising. Hallelujah. They were praising God not because they expected anything. They were just giving him glory. They were loving him. They were loving him because he was good. They were praising God for who he is. And suddenly things started happening. Suddenly some things started happening. Amen. God sent an earthquake, and the foundations of the prison, they were shaken. The foundations of the prison were shaken. And I want you to know something about this, that Paul and Silas did not know what God was doing when the prison started shaking. They didn't know what was going on. The prisons, they were singing praises, shouting, giving glory to God, praying, and all of a sudden the prison started shaking. And I don't think that Paul immediately said, oh, I know what this is. I don't think that Silas said, Paul, allow me to elaborate as to why the floor is moving under our feet right now. I don't think that's what happened. I think that they didn't have any clue of what was going on. I don't think that they had any idea what was happening, why it was shaking. But I want you to know one thing, that God knew what he was doing. God knew why it was shaking. God knew what he was doing. They didn't know what was going on. The prisoners didn't know what was going on, but God knew exactly what was going on. And I want to say to you this morning, you may not know what's going on, but God knows what's going on. You may not understand it, but God knows what's going on. God understands it, and God is still in control, and he has you in his hand. He is watching over you. You may be feeling the quakes. You may be feeling the earth shaking underneath you, but I want you to know that God knows what's going on, even if you don't. And if it's all the same to you, I'll just leave it up to him, because he's way smarter than me. I want you to know the midnight hour is the hour of shaking. The midnight hour is the hour of prayer and praise. It is also the hour of shaking. We're in the midnight hour. Verse 26 says, suddenly. How quickly that came. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Now I want you to think about this. It wasn't just Paul and Silas feeling the shake. Everybody felt the shaking in that prison. Everybody. That means Paul and Silas, that means the prisoners, that means the jailer keeping the jail. Everybody felt the shaking. It wasn't just focused on one little area. The whole prison, the Bible says the foundations of the prison were shaking. And I want you to think about that a little bit more. Now, what was the purpose of the shaking? Yes, Paul and Silas would have the doors open. They could be free to go. Sure. But there was more to it than that. What was the purpose of the shaking? Listen, I believe the shaking brought the removal of bands and barriers And it was the opening of doors to share the gospel. That's why the shaking was happening. That's why the shaking was happening. Listen again. The shaking brought the removal of bands and barriers, and it was the opening of doors to share the gospel. That was God's purpose in this whole thing. Because if you look at it after, if you actually look later on, you'll find that after they come out of the house and everything, they actually go back to the prison, and Paul says, "You tell them rascals that threw us in here to come get us out." So it wasn't just about getting out of the jail, because they went back to it after all this. Not to jump ahead and spoil the story, but they go back later. So it wasn't about getting out of the prison. Now, God will cause bands to loose. He will open prison doors. He will work miracles. He will do mighty things like that. But God had a bigger purpose than just that. God had a bigger purpose than just getting them out of jail. God had a bigger purpose in this. Now, I want you to think about this. God sent the earthquake. Now listen, it resulted in no loss of life. When the earthquake came, sent by God, it resulted in no loss of life. God is not the author of death. You heard Dad say that the other night. God is not the author of death. He is of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the life. Now, with this being said, God is not to blame for the coronavirus. It is a result of living in a fallen world. It is part of the sin curse. It is things that happen because man's disobedience towards God. It's something that was brought on by the curse. It is a fallen world. The evil that's happening in the world, one of many, because we live in a fallen world. With that being said, God did not send the coronavirus. God did send this earthquake, but nobody lost their life in that. Remember, there is a difference there. When God is doing something for his people, for his purposes, there's a difference there. There was no loss of life in this jail. God is not the author of the coronavirus, but here's what I want to say. There is a shaking that is happening as a result of this virus. There is a shaking that is happening, and everyone is being shaken. Everyone is being shaken, just like Paul, just like Silas, just like the prisoners, just like the jailer in that prison. They were all shaken. We live in a world right now that is being shaken. God is not the author of this virus, but God will cause good to come from it. God will cause good to come from something that is bad. I believe that right now that God is removing some barriers. He's removing some bands. He's opening some doors. He's softening some hearts. Why? Why is the shaking going on? What is God going to do about it? He's going to bring the gospel to them and say, "There's hope in Jesus Christ." He's going to bring the gospel and say, "This is where you need to look. This is where life is. This is your hope. Jesus Christ is a hope for this world." So there are some doors being opened. There are some barriers being taken down. Now I want to look at this jailer. The jailer is shaken. The jailer is shaken. Verse 27 says, "And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself," listen, "supposing that the prisoners had been fled." The jailer was shaken, and he was awakened out of his sleep. Suddenly, his life changed. Suddenly, remember how quick that earthquake came. Suddenly, he is shaken awake, and all of a sudden, he looks around, and his life changed. He woke to a world falling apart around him, literally. He woke to a world falling apart. Immediately, he was gripped by fear in his mind and in his heart, and he began supposing the worst. He began supposing the worst. I want you to know, too, that this world has been in a sleepy state. And the shaking is happening. And like this jailer, they're being shaken out of their sleep. Been complacent all this time. He was asleep on the job. Complacent all this time. not realizing that in an instant everything could change. That suddenly everything could change. And there are people in this world right now that are being shaken. And with it, they're waking out of their sleep and they're having to peer into the face of eternity. They're having to face the fact that life doesn't go on forever, that they are not immortal. They're having to face, if you will, the reality of their mortality. They're having to face the fact that, there may be an end to their life. They're having to face this. And like the jailer, I want you to think about this, because he was shaken out of his sleep and he immediately began supposing the worst. Think of some of the thoughts that the jailer would have been thinking during that time. He would have said, all the prisoners are gone. He sees all the doors open. I'll be put to death. All my plans for the future are gone. Everything that I've worked for is gone. My family will never see me again. I will die a cruel death for my failure, because surely I'll be put to death for this. Even though I had no control over it, they're going to put me to death. The prisoners are all gone. I have no hope. Listen, I might as well end my life now. I'm going to die either way. These were the thoughts going through the jailer's mind, I have no doubt, because his actions show he was getting ready to take his life. Now, you know, this jailer, he failed, but it wasn't because he didn't try. Because he went the extra mile, he threw them into the inner prison. He put their feet in stocks. Even after they were beaten, they were probably beaten to the point they couldn't even stand up. And what does he do? He throws them into the inner prison. He puts the stocks on their feet. He went the extra mile. He did his best, but it was out of his control. What happened was out of his control. And I want you to know this morning, the same things are on the mind of people today. They have done their best, yet their world is falling apart. They are powerless to change anything. They have no hope. They fear the unknown and suppose the worst. What the world needs is to hear a voice of hope. This is what the world needs today, is a voice of hope. I want you to know the midnight hour is the hour of hope. You said it doesn't look like the hour of hope. I'm here to tell you the midnight hour is the hour of hope. You're going to find out with God, it becomes the hour of hope. I want you to know that Paul never lost sight of why he was here on this earth. He never lost sight of the fact that he was here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope for this world who has no hope. It is the midnight hour. You look outside, it is the midnight hour. The world is sin sick. The world is in panic. The world is in fear. They are overwhelmed. They are looking for answers. They are covered in darkness. They are shaken and they need hope. And that night, that midnight hour, there was a man keeping that jail who awakened to find his world crashing. He awakened to find that he had no hope. He awakened to find that his life was essentially over and he needed to hear a word of hope, and his life depended on that. His life depended on that. I want you to think about in that moment, the earthquake has happened. It's dark. It's the middle of the night. And they're probably trying to determine what exactly is going on. And there just maybe is a silence in that jail. And Paul probably said to Silas, "Do you hear that?" It's the sound of a broken heart. It's a sound of silence. Sound of somebody who's given up. They're not saying anything. They've given up hope. Paul probably says, "Did you hear that?" And Paul knew that to walk out of that prison that day meant that the man keeping that jail would cross into eternity without Christ. He knew that if he left that day, he would have crossed into eternity without Christ. And I believe in the silence of the moment that you could even probably hear the sword coming out of the sheath as that jailer was about to take his own life and pierce it into his heart. I believe that you could hear the sound of that. And Paul knew in that moment it was the time that he should not be silent. It was in that moment Paul knew now more than ever it is not the time to be silent. Listen to verse 28. And Paul cried with a loud voice saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And I believe Paul's voice came piercing like a streak of lightning across the midnight sky. I believe it was like the streaming report of a firework you see shooting up into the night sky and the fire, and all of a sudden an explosion of light, an explosion of hope. And I believe that's what the jailer was seeing in that moment. There was suddenly a flash of hope that came into his life. There was suddenly a flash of hope that said, wait, it may not be over. Wait, it may be some hope here still yet. I believe that it was a sound of hope that came to him. And that midnight hour suddenly became the hour of hope. I want you to know that the midnight hour is the hour of life and not death. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. You look out around us this morning. It doesn't look like the hour of life. But God is still on the throne. You remember the keeper of the prison, he would have killed himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice and he said, "Do thyself no harm." This was going to be the hour of death for the jailer. But the midnight hour became the hour of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I want you to know the voice of Paul came from out of the darkness. He could not see into the darkness. It was dark, but he heard the voice of truth. This caused him to call for a light, to seek out the truth. He couldn't see where this voice was coming from, but the jailer was hearing the voice of truth that said there is some hope. He couldn't yet see it. His eyes were blinded with the darkness, but I'm reminded of the scripture that says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there was a man of God at the end of that hall who was speaking the word of God to this jailer. He was speaking the words of hope, and it came piercing out of the darkness, the light of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered and died in our place for our sins. He went to the tomb. He went into that place of darkness. He went into that cold, dark place, and he caused the light to shine out of darkness when he rose again from the grave. And this morning, you may be in the dampness and the darkness of a prison cell, but God will cause the light to come and shine out of darkness. The voice of hope is speaking to you this morning. The Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, saying there is hope, there is life, and God will cause the light to shine out of darkness. Amen. You may be saying, "I can't see it." You may be saying, "I can't see it. I don't see it." Listen to the voice of truth. Listen to the voice of God speaking to you, saying that there is hope, that there is life. The midnight hour does not have to be the hour of death. It can be the hour of life. The midnight hour doesn't have to be the hour of death. Listen to what it says in verse 29 and 30. I love this. He heard the voice calling out of the darkness that there was hope. And listen to what it says in verse 29. Then he called for a light. Then he called for a light. And he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's amazing how this strong jailer who thrust them into this prison is now at the feet of these poor, beaten, weak men of God. It's amazing how the weak are made strong in Jesus Christ. Yeah. This man has fallen down at their feet saying, "I've heard what you said." And he called for a light to seek it out. "Is what you said true? Are you all still here? Is this truly the voice of truth speaking to me?" And he called for a light and he went to seek it out. Is what I'm hearing true? Is what I'm hearing true? Is what you're hearing this morning true? I say based on the word of God. Yes, it's a voice of truth saying wherever you are, there is hope for you. Wherever you are, there is life. Follow the voice of truth, the word of God. Believe the word of God. Hear what it says. Seek it out. There is hope and there is life to be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the message? What is the message for this sin-sick world? What is the message that we bring to them when they seek out? What is the message? The Bible answers that in verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Now that portion, and thy house, doesn't mean just because the jailer got saved, his whole house got saved. They are meaning that if you believe, if your house believes, you guys can all be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you. Each person has an individual responsibility. My dad can't save me because he's saved. I had to come to the cross myself. Whoever you are, your family members can't save you. You've got to come to the cross of Jesus Christ yourself and realize that you've offended God, that you have broken God's law, and that Jesus paid the penalty for you. You deserved death, but Jesus paid the fine. The judge of all the universe can legally let you go because the debt has been paid in full. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. That means the debt is paid. If you'll come to the cross of Calvary in repentance, really realizing, oh God, I didn't realize my sin was so serious. I didn't realize that I deserved the death sentence. Jesus Christ will pardon and cleanse and sanctify you and set you free completely and give you everlasting life immediately. And suddenly your life can change. Right. Amen? Praise God. I want you to think about the midnight hour. God caused the midnight hour to be the hour of life and not death. I want you to think about, Christian, this is the time, the midnight hour, where we need to speak life. We need to be speaking life. We need to be speaking the words of truth. As you do, there will be souls searching to know the truth. Is it true, the testimony that I've seen in your life? Is it true, the testimony I've seen in your life? Is it true, the words that you've preached? Is it true, what the Bible says? There will be people searching to know, is it true? They're calling for a light. They're calling for a light. They're hearing, is it true? Is it true? And we need to be ready to say, yes, it is true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so blessed by something that happened a few weeks ago. And immediately after, I thought of this scripture. I was called by Daryl, and Tanya had been caring for a man who was very sick for quite some time. And Daryl said, I had a burden. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he said, I couldn't shake it. And he said, so I called to see if you would go see this man. He's very sick. I don't know how much longer he has. And he said, I don't know if he's saved or not. He's a great guy. We love him. He's a great guy. But he said, I just don't know if he's saved. And he's asking to see a pastor. Can you go see him? And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And I said, I can go a little bit later on if that's better. Or I said, just let me know. He said, probably sooner is better because we don't know how much time he has. And I said, okay, well, I'll go on down there. And so I went. And when I got to the house, I went inside, and he was sitting up on the edge of his bed, and I talked to him for a few minutes, and he said, yeah, Daryl and Tanya's talked a lot about you. You guys, the pastor, how much they love you. He said, I just think the world of them. And I made some small talk with him just for a moment. And I said, how are things between you and God? He said, probably not very good. He said, but I guess whenever I get there, I'll work it out with him then. And I said, that's not the time. Don't wait till you get there. I said, you need to make sure that you work this out now so that when you get there, that you're going to have a good meeting and not a bad meeting. So now is the time to work that out. And I said, if I could share with you the scriptures about how you could know that if you were to leave this world today, that you would be in heaven, would you want to know? He said, yeah, I'd like to know. And so I shared the scriptures with him. I shared the gospel with him, how Jesus had paid his sin debt and rose again from the grave. I shared the gospel and the scriptures. I took him through the Romans road and I shared those things. I gave him from memory because he didn't think that he would be able to see it in the Bible. And so I shared it with him from memory. And at the end I said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to save you today? And he said, yes. And so we prayed. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He confessed that Jesus had died on the cross. He was sorry for his sin. He believed that Jesus rose again from the grave. In that moment, he was saved. And after we prayed, I said, brother, based on what the Word of God said, not what I said, but what the Word of God said, I said, if you leave this world today, where would you be? He said, I'd be in heaven. I said, you're exactly right. I said, that's good news. And he nodded his head and said, yeah, it is. And I said, just a few minutes before I left, I said, is there anything else I can do for you before I go? And he said, I'd like for you to say a prayer for Daryl and Tanya. They're such a blessing to me. He said, they've been such a blessing to me all this time. And Daryl wasn't there, but Tanya and we gathered around and we held hands and we prayed along with the man's daughter and just asked for a blessing and thank God for saving this man. Brother Dave was his name. And I left the house and immediately that scripture came to mind and he called for a light. He called for a light. Why? Because he's seen a testimony. Because he's seen people that loved God, that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, that had a testimony. He had seen it. He heard the voice of truth, that there was hope. And he called for a light. And God saved that man. It wasn't anything that I did. I'm just pleased that God was willing to allow me to be used as part of that. The Bible says one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. And that day, God brought the increase. That was on a Friday. And I come to church on Sunday, and Brother Daryl comes up and he says, Dave went to be with the Lord Saturday. Dave went to be with the Lord Saturday. And I just said, praise God. And I prayed for the family, of course, because we know that they grieve. But there is that hope and the blessing that he's in heaven today as I'm speaking. And God brought the increase and God saved a life one day before he crossed into eternity. Yeah. And I told him that day as I was speaking with him, and I meant it with all my heart. I said, you know what? You may outlast me. I may leave here and leave this world. That's because not a single one of us are guaranteed another day. And God gloriously saved that man. He called for a light. What am I saying? Speak life. Yeah. Be a testimony. Share the gospel with people. Yeah. They'll search it out. They'll call for a light. Are these things true? And he found that they were. As I come to a close in the message, just a few more things I want to mention. The midnight hour is the hour of healing. It is the hour of healing. Look at verse 32 and 33. It says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. What a powerful hour, the midnight hour. It says he took them the same hour. of the night, the jailer and his whole family believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, him and all of his. And this jailer may have even been one who had beaten on Paul and Silas. I don't know. He may have been. He may not have been. But now he's born again, and now he's a brother in Christ. Look again at verse 33. It says, he took them and the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. This one who was cruel to them, this one who was hateful to them, this one who probably inflicted a great deal of pain on them is now washing their stripes. I want you to know that God can transform lives. God can take that cruel one, that hateful one, that one that you think is hopeless, and God, by his grace, can change them. And I want you to know that that very one that has hurt you may bring healing to you, as his jailer was washing their stripes, as his jailer was bringing healing after he was born again. I want you to know also that midnight hour is the hour of strength and nourishment. Because of this, look at verse 34. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He brought meat and set it before them. They had dinner. They had a midnight snack. I don't know if it was Cocoa Puffs or what, but in our day, that's probably what it would be. But they set meat before them. They had dinner together. What an awesome God. It's the hour of strength and nourishment. I want you to know that winning souls to Christ, that's where it's at. Yeah. That's where we're going to find strength. That's where we're going to find healing. That's where we're going to find nourishment. Being a testimony, speaking life in the dark hour. Yes, God will bring the increase. Someone may come to you with a light in hand, searching. Is it true? Yes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we get ready to give an invitation, I want to charge you with that in the midnight hour. Praise God. Pray. It is the hour of shaking. But it is the hour of hope. It's the hour of life and not death. It's the hour of healing and strength and nourishment. And I want to challenge you, speak life in this hour. Be a light piercing the midnight hour. Be one that causes people to call for a light to search it out. And I believe that there are people searching out right now. And so here's what I want to say this morning. Someone who's listening or watching, by however means, now or later even, you may be like the jailer. Your world is falling apart. You have no hope, and you're looking into the face of eternity, and there's uncertainty where you're looking right now. Like the jailer, you may even be considering ending your life. Because I know that's a thought in many people's minds today. Maybe I'll die either way, so what's the point? And if that's you, I want to say this message is for you. You can have life. You can have hope. It doesn't have to be that way. This is the hope you were looking for. This is the light piercing in your darkness right now. This is the opportunity for you to come to Christ. It's not a question of if you reject Christ, then you'll be lost. You're already lost right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Go ahead and begin with the song. As we have a course of this song, I want one more scripture that I want to share with you on this, and that's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. And this is what it says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. You ask when? Now. When can you make it right? Now. You don't know how close you are to eternity. When? Now. It's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in your own words, right where you are. It's wonderful to be in this building, but you don't have to be in this building to receive Christ this morning. It's wonderful to be here, but right where you are and listening to this, it doesn't matter. You can give your heart to Jesus Christ. You can have life this morning. Just simply go to God in repentance. God, I'm sorry for my sins. I didn't realize how serious it was. I deserve the death penalty, but I believe you died on the cross for me and rose again from the grave. I receive you now into my life. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Make me a new person. Help me to never be ashamed of you. If you'll say a simple prayer like that and mean it in your heart, God will save you on the authority of His word. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to give a chorus of this song. And if that's you, pray to God
just
now.
As call out to His name. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
I want to have prayer. Wherever you are, just bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your drawing. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your power. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for the cross where you died for all of our sins. And for the resurrection, Lord, we believe that you're alive this morning, that you're calling. And so, Lord, if there was one who called out to you this morning or whenever they may hear this, I thank you for them. I thank you for moving in that heart. Lord, if there's one that hasn't yet responded to you, Father, I pray that you'd continue to draw them right where they are, that they would find a spot and get on their knees and ask that you would forgive them, because I know that you will based on your word. Thank you for comforting your people. Thank you for strengthening. Thank you for doing the things that only you can do. Lord, I praise you for who you are and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. She's going to sing one more chorus of that song, and then we'll be dismissed.
Just as I